Okay, this week is week 12 of the Bible study that we're working on, and what we're looking at is what true biblical submission is. And kind of the song that our brother just sang is what true submission is to the Lord, just the words that he expressed. But in this study, we're looking at, again, what a Titus 2 woman is. And the scripture verse again that we've been looking at for the past 12 weeks is Titus 2, 3 through 5, where it says, older women likewise are to live priestly lifestyles, not to be malicious gossips, nor should they have any addictions, but should be teachers of beauty, so that they can train the younger woman to love their husbands, to love children, and to be of sound mind, to be pure, to be keepers of the home, to be good, and to be submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. And that's from the New American Standard Translation. And hopefully, as we've gone through these studies week after week, this is starting to stick. I should be having time with the Lord. I gotta watch my tongue. I shouldn't have any idolatry ruling and reigning in my heart, any addictions, letting God constantly deal with those things. Teach what beauty is, true beauty. It's all encapsulated in who Jesus is, I mean, and who the Father is, and just the kingdom of God. And then we are to train the younger ones that are considering marriage, how they were to love their husbands, how they are to love their children, how we are to have a sound mind, that we don't have to let our mind wander all over the place, but we could take our thoughts captive to what God's word says. How to be pure. What does that really mean? Purity that comes from being clothed in Christ's righteousness, not our own righteousness. We looked at that. How to be a keeper of the home. Lisa did a fabulous job on that. Just describing what does it mean to be a keeper of the home. It's not what some of us thought it meant, as Lisa shared when she was teaching. So if you didn't listen to that, is that online?
I need to do it.
Okay, she's going to do it. So she's going to get it online, but that was an excellent teaching that she did. And then to be good, again, our righteousness comes from the Lord. And now we're looking at the last one, to be submissive. Now, last week we looked what false submission was, but this week we're going to look at what true submission is. And if you remember, the author of the Bible study opened with the testimony from a friend. Her name was Kathy, and she prayed for her husband. Remember last week? She was praying for her husband. He got saved. She prayed for him for a long time, and all of a sudden he came to the Lord. But now the Holy Spirit speaking to her heart and telling her, you must no longer be the spiritual head of your home. I'm going to begin to teach Jack to lead, referring to a husband who just got saved. She would be praying for him, and God was teaching Kathy to give up control by supporting her husband in prayer and trusting Jesus to give Jack wisdom to lead their family. It was only as Kathy believed in God's utter faithfulness could keep her obedient and on the sidelines. Did you get that? God didn't need her help. As she waited for God to grow her husband into the spiritual priest of the home. So what part does true submission have in all of that? That's what we're going to look at. Day one, it said true submission is a gift of honor. Isn't that beautiful? It's a gift of honor to our spouse or our future spouse when we are submitted to them. Submission brings God's glory as we reflect his image in biblical manhood and womanhood. We saw in the beginning of creation, God created man and woman in his image, but they both had different roles within the marriage. Man and women were created equal, meaning in the image of God, but they had distinct roles that complemented one another. God designed it this way so that he could be glorified and honored in marriage. For the wife, she's to submit and respect her husband and her husband's leadership as unto the Lord. And that's key there. When you have a sight of the authority that God has set up, we do it as unto the Lord. And those of you that are married or have been married or considering marriage, what you'll find is God wants to take two wills and make them one. That's what Jesus prayed for in John 17, that we would be one with the Father like he was one with the Father. So that can only happen if there is humility there and a willingness to submit to one another by saying, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And for those of you that have been married a long time, you find that you're saying that a lot. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Because you're submitting as unto the Lord. It's not my will, Lord. I'm submitting to your will, how you designed it, how you arranged it for it to be in my marriage, according to the word of God. John Piper, I love how he says this. Submission is the divine calling to honor and affirm a husband's leadership. Isn't that beautiful? When we submit as unto the Lord, we are honoring and affirming our husband's leadership. We're respecting. You really hear respect in that, what John Piper described as what biblical submission is. We freely choose to take our position under our husbands to honor their leadership position. This goes totally against what the world says. Totally against what the world says. And then if you're in the world and you have a position of authority, like in a corporate office, which is what I came out of when I was in the world, you have a staff. You have authority. But then you come to the Lord, and God starts changing your thinking, renewing your mind with the Word of God. So you see, okay, I can't be at work that I am to the boss when I go home. I got to learn to take my rightful place, let my husband be the one that calls the shots. Providing he's walking with the Lord, you know what I mean? I mean, he's calling the right shots, not the wrong shots, but still, it doesn't say it's conditional. It just says, as unto the Lord. And we looked at that last week. So long as they're not leading us into go against God's word, into sin, God tells us to submit to their authority. But we freely choose. That's why I like that statement that she used. It is a free will of choice that we make that, okay, not my will, but thine be done. And each time we do that, we're honoring their leadership position. The Greek word is hupotasso. And for those of you that did the Walk of Repentance Bible study, that's the first week in the Bible study, and it goes through that word. Hupo, which means under, and tasso means to arrange under. So it's like a military term. We can't all be sergeants. We can't all be captains. There's rank. And that's how that word submission is used in that same way. Again, God designed it that way. We see in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, it says, Christ is the head of every man, so he is accountable ultimately to God for the household, for the decisions he makes. Man is the head of his wife. Sometimes we don't like that, having to be accountable to our spouse for whatever thing we need to be accountable for. But we have to realize God is the head of Christ. So it's just set up that way. God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of husband. Man is the head of his wife. But think about it in military terms. Maybe that'll help, just with this order that God has set up. We learn how to submit by seeing why and how Christ submitted to the Father and the church submits to Christ. So you see, it's not just in marriage. Christ submitted to the Father's will, but then the church is to be submitted to Christ. So you see that this submission thing is a big issue. not only in marriage, but in the body of Christ. And Jesus, when he came here, was so submitted to the Father that the Father, I mean, we sang, let me be a vessel. Well, a vessel for God is willing to do whatever God tells him to do, according to his word. According to his word, Jesus came to do the Father's will, and he lived out the word of God. What was prophesied in the Old Testament about him, he lived it out. He submitted to the word of the Father. He didn't have to. He freely chose. And he's our example. Philippians 2 verses 1 through 8, we read how we can imitate Christ's humility. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you look to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even to the death of a cross. And Jesus is our example, and Paul is telling us we have to have this mindset if we want to walk in submission in the way Jesus walked in submission to the Father. Even though he was equal to the Father, he said, I and the Father are one. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But yet he humbled himself. He didn't grasp that position. He was willing to come under the Father, even though he was equal with the Father. See, now we are created equal in the image of God, but again, we come under our husbands. They are the head, just like Christ is the head of the church. So as wives, we have the opportunity to follow Christ's example of obedience and humility. Obedience and humility. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 7. This was all in day one of the study. It said, man is the image and glory of God when he reflects God's image. Woman is the glory of her husband. Man's glory is that he reflects the image of God the Father by being protector, provider, and leader of the family. That's how God is with us, right? He's our protector, provider, and he leads. Man is to be that. To wife. They should be providing, protecting, and leading. The woman is the glory of the man in that as her husband relates to and cares for her, her submission reflects the essence of who he is. You think about Christ, as he submitted to the Father. It was a reflection of who the Father is through Christ's life. Submission brings our husbands glory as we honor their position as leaders and trust God's grace in them to provide for, protect, and sacrifice for us. And we should be seeing this kind of fruit growing in our marriages. Probably when we first got married, both were very selfish. I know what I wanted, he know what he wanted, and we saw that God had to knock out the whole foundation system of what we wanted, and we had to start building on, okay, what does God's word say? What our roles are to be? Because the world doesn't teach it to us. The world teaches the complete opposite. So we have to learn and constantly be learning, but not only learning, putting it into practice. And to put it into practice, we have to die. We have to die to our will, our rights. And sometimes you might feel like, but that's not fair. I feel like I'm always the one that has to die. Didn't Jesus die on the cross for us? He's our example. So in day two, we saw that true submission really is a resting place for us. God wants us to come to a place of rest. Because when, just think about if you're not submitted, isn't there turmoil inside? I mean, when we're fighting and kicking against, is there peace inside? No, it's turmoil. But like we looked at last week, submission and meekness go hand in hand. When you throw up the white flag and say, hey, I surrender my rights, my will, I surrender, the peace comes. Elizabeth Elliot has said, how does she say it? When we are restless inside, we won't find peace until we totally surrender to God inside. So that restlessness is a red flag. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. I want to be in control of something, right? Because we looked at that last week. Women are born with wanting to be in control of everything. Of everything. And when there's that restlessness inside, it's a red flag. Okay, what am I trying to control here? What do I need to let go so I can come into this place of rest? Because remember, the husband is accountable to God for the choices he's making for the home. If he's not making the right choices, he is ultimately going to be accountable to God for the choices he's making for the home. I remember years ago when I first got saved, my pastor's wife had drilled that into me. She looked at my husband and she looked at me and she said, you are going to be accountable for her, so you have to make sure you're walking with God. In New York, you could be in your face like that. You can't be like that here. Trying to learn that. But in New York, she was just right there. And she was right. And I remember when she said that, I was like, why am I carrying the weight of this? God's not calling me to carry the weight of the home, spiritual weight, the atmosphere of the home. It's my husband's responsibility. It's his responsibility. So what we saw in the study, there was a referral to Jeremiah 6:16. And it says, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your soul. So again, you see it there again. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. You could just hear the defiance. No. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I don't care what God says. There's no rest in that. The ancient paths is the roadmap to life which God has given to man since the beginning of time. Our souls will never find rest if we walk on our own paths or in our own will. And those of you that are here that have experienced that know that to be true. When you're in self-will, again, the inside is like rock hard, not gonna budge. It's like a boulder inside. Demanding, I deserve. And God's saying, I want you to die to that. Why are you holding on to that thing? Look at Jesus. Look at what he did for you, for him. Let it go, whatever it is. If we don't let go, because what we see in this portion of scripture from Jeremiah 6, he's saying if you don't let go, you won't have rest for your soul. We'll be like the world, totally stressed out. I'm wondering if our next move is the right one. So confused. Because now we can't discern what is the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to me and what's my own heart speaking to me. And according to the scriptures, God tells me I can't trust my own heart. I mean, my husband asked me something this morning, I think it was, I don't remember what it was, but I told him, I said, I don't know. We can't trust our own hearts. Our hearts are deceitful, so I can't say if it's pure. I mean, what you're saying or what you're planning on doing, because we could be self-deceived. I don't know. That's what God's word says. I'm so thankful that Jesus tells us in Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30, come to me. If you find like you're restless inside, you're not finding rest, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He's always calling out to us, come to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And when you look at the study that we did for day two, it described what a yoke is. A yoke is the wooden frame that joins two oxen together so they can work side by side. Now try to picture you and your husband as these oxen, okay? It's sometimes used as a metaphor to describe one's individual subjection to another. So, two oxens in this yoke, side by side. Gotta work together, right? For this thing to go in the right direction. The yoke is a symbol of submission because you gotta submit to wherever the ox is leading, right? If you want it to go in the right way. Christ is telling us in this passage of scripture there is rest and submission to Him. And the parallel would be that there is rest in our submission to our husbands if it's done God's way. If it's not done God's way, there's no rest. It's turmoil. It's turmoil. So the key is both getting your eyes on, okay, what is God's will? According to His word, what does God say about this issue we're looking at or having to deal with? And because we have a history of the past being a mess because we've been doing it our way, if we want God's blessing, we got to do it His way. But we got to yoke ourselves together in doing it God's way. Because Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not easy, it's not light when we're fighting against it. One or the other. It's fighting against, it's difficult. It's difficult. So again, one of the reasons why Jesus came to earth was to show us how submission is done. Because he was totally submitted to the Father. And he, again, is our example. Jesus was humble in heart. He willingly wore the yoke that kept him joined to his Father the whole time he was here. He didn't have to, but he chose to. Didn't we see that in Gethsemane? He came here knowing he was coming to die on a cross. He knew why he was coming to earth, and he came. He chose to come. And when he was in Gethsemane, and the weight of the sins of the world was upon him, that we don't have a clue what he went through physically, spiritually, emotionally, that he was sweating drops of blood. And he cried out, not my will, but yours be done. He willingly wore the yoke that kept him joined to the Father all the way to the cross. He didn't have to. But he chose to. And when you're married, like I said earlier, you have to say a lot to yourself, not my will, but thine be done. I remember once I made the mistake of complaining to my spiritual leaders about what a strong leader my husband is and was. And she just looked at me very lovingly and she said, Rose, God knew exactly what you needed. And when she said that, I was like, am I that strong-willed? We're together almost 30 years. 30 years. God's been working, continues to work. But I can say, I'm not the same person I was when I first married him, and neither is he. But it takes a lot of humbling self, dying to self, pulling back. Even when you know they're going down a pathway that's like, I wouldn't go there if I was you. But letting them go. Especially when they believe God's leading. And everything in you saying, I don't know if this is God. God is growing. Both husband and wife. So we see that true submission in day three is an expression of trust for us as women as we're trusting God, get this, to lead our husbands. Really takes a great step of faith, right? To really believe that God is leading our husbands, right? It does. It's a great step of faith to believe, okay, I'm going to be praying for you, the wife taking that position, and him spending time with the Lord, time in prayer, time in the Word, maybe for a day, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, however long you're praying about an issue. And he comes back and he says, this is what I sense God is telling us he wants us to do. It takes great faith to believe, God, you're in this. And he's constantly growing our faith. Constantly growing our faith. When we are submitted to our husbands in this way, we have to put our trust in the Lord that he will show them what is the right pathway to take. And as we submit to our husbands and whatever decisions they really believe God is leading them in, we build them up. And we encourage them to be strong leaders and godly men. So we are like their cheerleader. Yeah, I believe God's going to speak to you. I believe God's going to show you. I believe God is in this. I'm willing to step out on water with you. And if we sink together. That's how it was for us when we left Pure Life. 22 years there. And God was calling us out. I had to trust God. You really leading him out? Me too? But what are we going to do? I believe you're leading us, Lord. And if we sink together. And we're almost 5 years in of doing Lighthouse. So, you know, God will lead, but we got to trust that he's leading our husbands to lead us. And if it's the wrong decision, he'll grow. God's growing him to be a strong spiritual leader in the failures, in the right decisions. God's growing them to be the godly priest of the home. And they've got to learn by mistakes too. Just like we learn by mistakes too. Okay, we won't do that again. I love this book, and if you haven't read it, I would really recommend it. Even if you're not married and you're considering marriage, I would recommend it. It's by Mike Mason. It's called The Mystery of Marriage. And he says, we submit to do because he is perfect, but we submit to husbands because they are not perfect. Our submission is the humble service of our love because they desperately need it. Our husbands need to know that we believe in them as men. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, even though we believe, our trust is in the Lord, because Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 tells us where our ultimate trust is, and that's where you have to trust your husband's walk with the Lord, that God will show him the pathway. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Isaiah 30, verse 15, 16, and 21, we see why this is important for us as wives, to trust in the Lord in this way. And this is a big portion of scripture, but it's good to read. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. You said, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore, you will flee. You said, we will ride off on swift horses. Therefore, your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one, and at the threat of five, you all will flee, till you are left like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. People of Zion, who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of affliction and the waters, the bread of adversary and the waters of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them, whether you turn to the right hand or to the left. Your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. A woman's strength, what we see, this is referring to the children of Israel. They, God's showing them the way to go, but they're saying, no, we won't have any of his ways. We're going to go and turn to Egypt, basically, the swift horses. We're going to turn to the ways of man. And he's saying, if you do that, you're doomed to failure, basically. Don't go that way. But yet they were persistent, but he's waiting. He's longing for them to turn and repent to him. He said, if you turn and repent, you'll find rest for your souls. I'll be gracious to you. And then you will be able to hear the pathway I have for you, because now I have your attention. Now you're seeking me. Because usually that's what happens. When we look to the world and wander that way, and we realize I made a big mistake. I should have never went that way. And we reap the consequences of that. God has our attention now. It's like, okay, I'm not doing it my way no more. I'm not doing it the world's way anymore. God, show me in your word. Show me in your word, because obedience brings blessings from the Lord. Patterning our lives according to his word brings a blessing to your life, not a curse. So as a woman's strength is trusting in the Lord to lead her husband in the decisions that need to be made, she is strengthening her faith as she puts her trust in the Lord for her husband. And each time she sees God intervene in the way that he does, her faith increases. And it continues to increase. And she just knows, okay, I can submit myself under my husband because he is hearing from the Lord. He does walk with God. He does take counsel from other people when they say, hey, I don't know, I don't think you should go that way. He will heed their correction. He will heed the discipline of the Lord. You can submit yourself under someone like that, and your faith grows knowing that, God, you are guiding us. You are showing us our way through this crazy world we live in. What is your purpose for our lives as individuals and as a couple? Why we are here? For however long we're here for, our position in our heart should be praying for our husband, that he would hear from the Lord, that God would guide him, that he would pattern his life according to God's word. We can speak truth to them in love. We saw this last week about any concerns that we do have. If we have concerns, we saw false submission is just pretending like it's okay. But meanwhile, inside, we don't sense a peace about the situation. Well, we need to speak the truth in love and share that with them. Because otherwise, we saw last week, we can get angry, bitter, resentful. we can ask them questions that would draw them out as far as, what are you thinking? Why do you sense God leading us in this way? What are the scriptures that He gave you? How's He confirmed it? Have you talked to elders about it? Or have you sought counsel on it? Godly counsel. It's okay to ask those kind of questions. It's safe to ask those questions because you want to know that. You just don't want him saying, well, I think God's leading us this way, and there's no counsel, there's no talking about it to anybody, and you're leading off that way, and then before you know, you're way out there somewhere, away from the Lord, and it's like, how the heck did this happen? There's safety in a multitude of counselors. Don't nag him to death. I shared last week how Pastor Friend told us when we were up visiting in Buffalo, if a wife says it more than once, it's nagging. And I was like, wow, he's a biblical counselor too. So I was like, that's good. If a wife has to say it more than once, it's nagging. Whether it's verbally, texting, emailing, reminders, let him make the final decision. Don't try to take matters into your own hands because by doing so, you usurp your husband's authority. And that's not true submission. Sometimes trusting the Lord is tested by delays, aren't they? The Lord makes us wait long sometimes. That's been my testimony. I came to the Lord in 1984. A lot of times I had to do a lot of long waiting, to the point it was like, God, do you even hear me? But you know, when He shows up, I'm reading through Mark, it's suddenly when He comes, it's when you least expect it. So, in those times of waiting, back to this portion of scripture we looked at from Isaiah 30, where it talked about the swift horses, we're not going to wait. We're going to get on our horses and take care of things the way we think they should be taken care of. Well, in the times of waiting, when God has us in delay, it's hard to be submissive because we want to do everything to, I got to make this thing work. I got to help God out. He's not moving quick enough for me. We've all been there. We are far more prone to get on our swift horses and hurry into battle, but it never gets us anywhere, does it? We must learn to patiently wait upon the Lord, not try to make things happen or try to twist God's hand to get something done or call in the shots all the time. If you remember, the sin of wanting to be in control of a situation lies at the foot of this mindset. I want to be in control. Some women are in a greater hurry than their husbands to get things done. This was in the study. And that is okay. God is teaching you patience and submission in the process of waiting. Will I still submit to God first? Remember, submit to the husband as unto the Lord. Will I submit to him first in this waiting process and then submit to my husband, trusting that God is going to show him what needs to be done? True submission in day four, we saw, is a revelation of beauty. 1 Peter 3, verse 1 through 4, wives in the same way submit yourselves to your own husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from the outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle, But that word really, what we saw in the study, is meek and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in the sight of God. Meekness in some of the modern translations has been changed to gentleness instead of meekness. And by changing the word meekness to gentleness, it loses the power and impact of the decommitment, which says, not my will, but thine be done. Meekness and submission are synonymous. In the New Testament, it refers to an inward attitude of the heart. We looked at last week, is throwing up the white flag. A voluntary submission to the will of another is what meekness is. Voluntarily, again, we see that. Voluntarily, I voluntarily submit myself to the will of another. It is part of the fruit of the Christ-like character produced by the Holy Spirit. God's idea of beauty is very different from the world's, isn't it? Because the world just says focus on the outward. And that's what Peter was getting at. Don't just focus on the outward. God wants you to look at inside, what's going on inside. Because outwardly you could do all the right things, but inside you could be just a bag of rotten bones inside, right? And who we are inside is who we really are, not what we portray outwardly. God is looking for meek and quiet spirits in his search for feminine beauty. Isn't that beautiful? In search of feminine beauty, what Peter is saying, God is looking for meek and quiet spirit. Quiet doesn't mean you never open your mouth. Like we looked at last week, full submission. I'll just stay silent. I won't say nothing. No, just speak truth in love. Just speak it in love. Sometimes you have to speak truth and bring correction to your husband, but just do it in love. True beauty lies in our submissive spirit, just as Christ was submitted to the Father. Again, it keeps bringing us back to that in the study. Sometimes we can be biting our tongues while our spirit can be raging inside. And we saw that last week. That's full submission. We can be screaming and yelling inside, both at our husbands and God, but controlling our words in a way that denies that what we're feeling or the adversity that's in us. Again, full submission. Our hearts become hardened, callous, cold, and distanced from any kind of intimacy with our husbands when this happens. And I'm sure there's women here that can say amen to that. 1 Peter 3:8-11, Peter follows these verses after the verses we just read. He says, finally, all of you, not just wives, everyone, kids, husbands, employers, all of us that are professing to be Christians, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. And when we choose to submit to our husbands in the way the scriptures is telling us to submit, we freely take our positions under our husband, and we're learning how to walk in humility. And the process is usually very painful. It usually is a painful process. Becoming humble or being humbled by the Lord can be extremely painful. But pride will keep us from admitting our weakness, vulnerability, and our need. And pride refuses to submit to anyone. Just refuses. Again, Mike Mason, I love this from his book, The Give and Take of Marriage, which was in the study. In marriage, it so happens that the Lord has devised a particularly gentle means for helping men and women to humble themselves, to surrender their errant wills. Marriage cannot help being a furnace of conflict, a crucible in which these two wills must be melted down and purified and made to conform to the will of another, God's. Marriage turns out to be through and through an act of acquiescence, a willing compliance both with God and with one other person in the difficult process of one's own subdual and mortification. No marriage can succeed unless it is permeated, saturated with this spirit of acquiescence, of continual giving in, or gracious and willing compliance. And I'll say that's my testimony of the almost 30 years of being with my husband. That's my testimony. It's true. And I'm telling you, this book is probably the most accurate book on marriage of what happens inside when two people come together under the same roof. He describes it perfect. Perfect. So if you want to know the process God takes us through when we say, I do, again, I would highly recommend this book more than any other marriage book that's out there, because it really describes what God does inside the heart in marriage, if we let him. That's a big if we let him. People that don't want to go through this process get divorced. We've seen that 26 years of counseling, they get divorced. I don't want to go through this. Why? It's not fair. I don't deserve this. I deserve better. I'm telling you, we've seen it. We've heard it. You know, sin, the sin that destroys marriages, we were at Pure Life for so long, wasn't sexual sin, pride. Pride is what destroyed every single marriage that we saw that ended that way in divorce. An unwillingness for one or the other to humble themselves, to submit to Christ, to submit to one another, and to die to their will, but to let God make their wills one. You have to die for him to make it one. So I like when he says here, it is a furnace of conflict, a crucible in which these two wills, God melts them down, he purifies, and then he makes it to conform to his will. And when you go through the process, it's beautiful. It really is beautiful. Lastly, true submission is a place to experience freedom from the sin of wanting to be in control. The goal for those experiencing good marriages is to give their spouses freedom to be who they are and to fulfill the calling God has placed on their lives. God calls women to be submissive to their husbands, but if man demands submission, it can't be freely given. She liked that one. God calls men to love their wives sacrificially, but if the wife demands the sacrifice, it can't be given freely. Again, Christ is our example. He freely gave. He freely was submissive. We are called to submission and our husbands are called to sacrificial love in order to counteract the curse that was brought upon mankind in Genesis 3. So submission sets us free from our sinful desire of wanting to control. As we follow Christ in his humility, we are free from our sinful tendencies. Christ came to conquer the evil one and to free us from the evil within, counteracting the effects of the fall. As we submit to him and to one another, this is accomplished in our lives. So it's not a bad thing. It's a positive thing because it's killing the sin in us that wants to be in control of everything, which we're not in control of. God is in control. So we won't experience the rest or peace he wants us to have unless we yoke ourselves with Christ and say, God, instead of me demanding, I'm going to start praying more for my spouse and trust you to raise him up, trust you to make him into the spiritual leader of the home that you have created him and designed him to be, and allow him to grow through the failures so that he can come to the place where he truly is a spiritual priest of our home and you can be glorified through both of our lives. See, gender role confusion comes when we're not patterning our lives according to the scripture. And that has subtly crept into the church. It is God's created order which reflects God's original design. When we try to wear the pants, we're fallen again, just like Eve fell. We are being deceived by the enemy into thinking we will be more secure if we're the ones in control. So there might be some here that are listening here in the class or by internet that you might have to go and repent to your husband for not being submissive, fighting against him. There might be some here that needs to ask the Holy Spirit, I want you to rule and reign in my heart in this way. I don't have to have my will. I don't have to do things my way. There's peace in that. There really is peace in letting go. I want God to make my will one with the Father, just like Jesus was one with the Father. But I want him to make my husband one with the Father too. If we're both one with the Father, everything's going to flow beautifully, the way it's supposed to, the way God designed it. I don't know if you're hungry for that, but I am more and more. Because I don't want to be. I want Jesus to be. I really want him to reign inside of me. Even my husband, inside of me, more and more and more. Are you hungry for that? Lord, we do thank you so much that you're teaching us what it means to walk with God, to walk in that open fellowship with you, and to walk in your peace, and to be one with the Father as Jesus was one with the Father. And Lord, we know it's your desire that our wills would be one, just as your will is one with the Father. And we want that. We want that in our marriages. We want that in our homes, Lord, that we would be so united to God that you would just flow your life through us as empty vessels that can truly glorify yourself and reveal yourself to a world that is dying in chaos and confusion and darkness over what the role of a marriage partner is in the day that we're living in. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to die inside to our will, our rights, to what we think, to align ourselves to what the Word of God says inside, so that you can reveal the love of Christ through us, and you can reveal an accurate picture of what marriage was originally intended to be when you created Adam and Eve before the fall. Lord, we pray that you would bring us back into that by the working of your Holy Spirit in us and by the Word of God, that it would have preeminence in our will so that we can walk as Adam and Eve once walked with you in their marriage here on earth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.